If somebody would be kind enough, if I could trouble you to bring me a Rambam Sefer Ahava. Thank you so much. Let's just summarize the sugya that we learned yesterday here on Daf Zayin Amid Beis. Because as I look over the sugya a second time, Ahava. I would assume it's number two. I didn't realize there were two Ahavas. I have a feeling they're both the same. As I look over the sugya, I realize something that perhaps we missed. Or at least I missed. The Gemara assumes that if we take these two Lashonos, Al and Lim, we compare them, there's no question that the Lamed indicates the future, which is called Lahaba, as opposed to the Al, which is questionable. And it could go one of two ways. It could either refer to Lahaba, or it could be made Kara. Now, the actual subject of the sugya is the bracha on Bir Chametz. And there's no doubt that Lamed would be appropriate. So Liv Va'eres HaChametz would certainly be appropriate because the Lamed indicates Lahaba. And why is Lahaba so important? Why is it so necessary to use a language of Lahaba? Because of overlasiosa, because the bracha always must be recited before the mitzvah is implemented. So the bracha therefore should indicate that I'm going to implement this mitzvah in the future. That's as far as Levira is concerned with the Lamed. As far as Albir Chametz is concerned, the Gemara offers two opinions on this issue. Does the word Al indicate on something that was already performed, that's called Meikara, in which case it would be inappropriate for a Birchas HaMitzvah? Or does the Al indicate Lahaba, something I'm about to do? I'm about to perform the mitzvah, and then Al would be appropriate. And the Gemara thinks initially that this issue has to apply to all brachos, to all mitzvahs, and that if you hold, according to the Maan d'Omer, Levayer Chametz, which was Rapapi, and it means that Al Bir Chametz is Meikara Mashma, referring to the past tense, then the Gemara thinks that Al would be absolutely inappropriate for any mitzvah. And that's what the series of questions and objections that are raised by the Gemara to attack this shita of Levayer of Rav Papi, all of these objections really are coming to the same general conclusion, to prove that in fact a bracha with a language of Al over a mitzvah is appropriate, is valid. Once I prove to you that in one particular case, in one particular mitzvah, the nusach that's appropriate is Al, then that undermines the entire thesis of the Maan d'Omer who says Levayer, because he says that Al is Meikara Mashma. And basically what the Gemara is going to do now is it's going to have to backpedal a little bit and say that, you know what? Even if Al indicates Meikara, and therefore it's inappropriate for Bir Chametz, but there are mitzvahs where the language of Al is appropriate. And what are those mitzvahs? So let's go through them. The first mitzvah on the list is Mila. And the Brisa says that the correct the correct formulation for the bracha on Mila is Vitzivanu al Hamila. So again, we already have proven from this one particular mitzvah of Mila that al is lahaba mashma, because clearly the principle called over lasiyasa, which means that the bracha comes before the asiyah, applies. So how could you make a bracha al hamila, assuming that the word al indicates meikara? So the Gemara has an answer to this question. And what is the Gemara's answer to this question?
Not the obligation of the moel.
Exactly, the moel is not obligated. And this really opens up a whole new window that maybe we didn't pay attention to. And when I say we, I'm using the royal we, because I'm blaming myself. But what the Gemara is saying now is the following, that there's some meaning in the bracha which changes if the person who's reciting the bracha is not the Bar Chiyuva. So it works like this. If the father is circumcising his own son, he's the Bar Chiyuva, then he'll use the language Lamul, with a Lamed. Again, this is all according to Rav Papi, who holds that Lamed is indicative of Lahava, whereas Al is indicative of Meikara. But the Gemara is saying that in one category of cases of mitzvah, even Rav Papi would agree, he would have to admit, that the lashon of al is appropriate. And why? Because you're not the Bar Chiyuva. So Rav Bosai, if I were to stop right now, at this point, and I could pretty much prove the same point that we're about to make with regard to Shechita, because the Gemara says that the reason why the mitzvah, the bracha on Shechita is also al HaShechita, is for the same reason, because the Shochet is not Chayav in the mitzvah of Shechita, in this case, right? We're not talking about a case where, which is the exceptional case, where there is a Bar Chiyuva in Shechita. And that's number two. Then we'll get, Mitzvah Shem, to the case of Netilas Lulav. There the Gemara says something totally different. But at least as far as these first two cases of Mila and Shechita, the Gemara validates the language of Al in the Nusach HaBrocha, even according to Rav Papi, because there's no relationship, there's no correlation between the person who's implementing the mitzvah and the person who's obligated in the mitzvah. They're two separate individuals. So when the individual who is performing the mitzvah is the Bar Chiyuva, then there's only one Nusach HaBracha that can fit according to this Man Yom. That's what? The Lamed. But if the Bar Chiyuva is persona A and the Mavarech is persona B, then even according to Rav Papi, you can, and apparently you have to use the Nusach HaBracha Al. So I'm going to ask you the following question. I hope I'm right about this, and then you'll all give me the right answer. If I were to tell you that one of these two nuschos, that's either the Lamed or the Al, is more restrictive, and the other is a wider scope, which one would you say is more restrictive, and which one offers us a broader scope?
Lamed is more restrictive.
Which one is more restrictive?
Lamed.
The Lamed. And which one is a broader scope?
Al.
An Al, because an Al is going to give me the flexibility of using a Nusach HaBracha even for someone who's not a Bar Chiyuva, he's not obligated in the mitzvah. And the reason I'm so excited about this, maybe I don't know if anyone else is excited, but I'm excited about this, is because Tosis is going to raise the following question. Since at the end of the day everybody agrees that the Lamed is an appropriate Nusach HaBracha, nobody denies, whether it's Rav Papa or Rav Papi, that Lamed is Lahaba Mashma. So Tosis says, if that be the case, why does the Gemara say Hilchasa, that at the end of the day I'll be your Chametz? And if you recall yesterday's Shia, the Rosh says that a person should have to teach Chidushim through his bracha, Ha-motzi and not motzi, a sugya mesecta brachas. And here too, since we paskin that al is also a valid nusach, then we should be the mevarech with an al. We can offer another alternative interpretation of Tosus without using the Rosh. And the reason why we want to indicate a bracha with an al whenever it's appropriate is because what is al? A broader scope. In other words, if all things are equal and I have two choices in front of me, I have a nusach which is more restrictive and limited in its application, and I have another nusach which is a broader scope, I would prefer to use the broader scope because it covers much more. It's a wider inclusion. I want to include in my bracha as much as I possibly can. So now let's analyze this. To what extent is Lamed more restrictive and Al is broader scope? Meaning, what is the meaning of Lamed and what's the meaning of Al? That's the challenge here. And if we can answer that question, we'll understand why the Gemara prefers Al in a certain specific mode or group of mitzvahs. That Al is a broader scope, because Al has a meaning that perhaps goes beyond Lamed. Lamed is a very restrictive indication or meaning. And what's the key word here for Lamed? To understand the Lamed. What concept do we have to connect to the Lamed, Rabbi Osai? It's a word that has four letters in it. It starts with a ches. What word, Don?
No, I was thinking that
chiyuv. This is the key concept here, Rabbi Osai. That Lamed indicates chiyuv. And if that be the case, the Lamed is more restrictive. Why? Jerry, can you tell me why Lamed becomes more restrictive if I associate Lamed with a chiyuv? Correct, you're limited. You can only apply a nusach of Lamed in a case where you have a bar chiyuva. I need a broader nusach for someone who's not a bar chiyuva. So what does the al indicate? If not the chiyuv, it must indicate what? The mitzvah itself. The mitzvah itself. The entity of the mitzvah. And here we don't distinguish between Reuven, who's the Bar Chiyuva, the father of the son, and Shimon, who's the Moel, who's not a Bar Chiyuva, because the brach is being made on the mitzvah itself. And the mitzvah itself is meaningful for everyone. Even though the Moel is not strictly obligated, but he has now been in charge, he's been in charge with the mitzvah to execute the mitzvah of Milah, and now he's going to make a brach on the mitzvah of Milah. That's a much broader scope than a bracha on the chiyuv. And maybe we could even take this a step further, that if the bracha is on the chiyuv, then the lamed indicates lasos, asher kidshanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu lasos. Whatever that follows the lamed is going to fit into the pattern of lasos. Why lasos? Because the chiyuv is a chiyuv lasos. Are you following? In other words, how do I fulfill my obligation? The answer is I have to implement an asiya, a maisa that fulfills my obligation. So therefore, the lasos is a very appropriate language for a chiyuv, because I want to thank Hashem for giving me the opportunity of lasos, giving me not only the opportunity but the obligation of lasos, and now we're about to implement and fulfill that obligation, so therefore the appropriate language is lasos. However, I cannot indicate an obligation lasos if I'm not the bar chiyuva. And in two mitzvahs, namely Mila and Shechita, the person who is implementing the maisa is not the bar chiyuva. So you can't say Hashem kishanu is the source of lasos. I'm not mitzvah lasos. Where did the Torah command me to circumcise this baby? It's not my son. Where did the Torah command me to shech this animal? If I want to, I don't have to shech the animal. Somebody once asked me, Rav Moshe Feinstein was one of the great gedolim in America, how many times did he shech an animal in his life?
Zero.
How could a tzaddik like Rav Moshe Feinstein never have shechted an animal? The answer is because there's no obligation to shecht an animal. It's not a mitzvah chiyuvis. There's no chiyuv. So now I need a nusach habracha that broadens my scope and indicates the mitzvah itself. That's called al. Al means on the entity of the mitzvah. And the entity of the mitzvah includes even an implementation of a maisa that's not related to a bar chiyuvah. And that's what the Gemara has in these two cases.
Just taking that explanation, how do you account for the difference between al mikro megillah and nishma a shofar?
At this point, we don't know. That's why we have to go on to the next Gemara. And the Gemara now approaches Latilas Lulav. Okay? So, Rabbi Osai, rule number one is that we shift from an lamid to an al, because the al is more inclusive and it's not limited to the bar chiyuvah. And this, I believe, is what the Rambam means over here when he says the following. Let me see if I can. Ram says the following: Kol ose mitzvah, v'hi chova olav, v'aso soli atzmo, mivarech lasos. Do you notice where the Rambam says mivarech oso li atzmo? What does it mean, li atzmo? To fulfill his chiv, and therefore mivarech lasos. Asa oso lacherim. In which case he's not what? He's not obligated. Mevarech al hasir. Not on the asir itself, but al hasir. With a lashon al. Ketzad. Lavash tvilin. Mevarech laniach tvilin. He's obligated. Nisate betzitzis. Mevarech lihisate betzitzis. Yashav besukah. Mevarech leishav besukah. Vechenu mevarech lahadlik ner shabbos. Ligmar es ahalel. Kova mezuzah bebeso, mevarech likva mezuzah. Also make legago, mevarech ashek chok sosu vitzvaru, lasos make. Hifrish trumus of maestris liatzmo, mevarech lahafrish. Moles bino, mevarech lamulas aben. Shachat pischo, mevarech lishchot. Avolim kova mezuzah lacherim, mevarech al kviyas mezuzah. Also lehem makim mevarech al asiyas makah, hifrish lehem truma mevarech al hafroshes truma, mol es ben chaver mevarech al hamila, vechein kol kayotze bielu. The Rambam gives us four examples of a mitzvah that's being implemented not by the Bar Chiyuva, but for the sake of the Bar Chiyuva by someone else. And in all these four cases, the Rambam says that the Nusach HaBrocha shifts from a lamid to an al. Because what do we drop here? Says the Rambam, it's no longer osa liatzmo. What do you mean osa liatzmo? Lichovaso. So when I'm saying lasos, leishev besukah, lehaniach tefillin, I'm fulfilling my asiya because I'm obligated to do so. So that's asher kishon mitzvos of lasos. But in the case of lacherim, for example, if I'm putting up your mitzvahs on your behalf, or your makah on your behalf, or your mafresh truma on your behalf, I'm circumcising your son on your behalf, in those cases I can't possibly say asher kishon mitzvos of mitzvon lasos. There is no mitzvon lasos. So the Rambam says, I need a broader scope nusach that'll indicate the mitzvah itself, and that's called al. Now, when I say the mitzvah itself, what I'm doing is I'm translating brisker terminology into English, and you lose a lot in translation. In brisk, they would call it, I think, the cheftza shel mitzvah. The cheftza shel mitzvah means the essence of the mitzvah, the fact that God's will is being fulfilled in this world. That's what I call the mitzvah itself. It's the cheftza shel mitzvah. And when I'm making the bracha on behalf of someone else, it's his obligation. I can no longer make the bracha lasos on the chiyuv to do and implement, because I don't have such a chiyuv. But instead, I have a broader scope bracha of an al on the mitzvah itself, on the cheftza shel mitzvah. That's what I think the Rambam is saying.
And if you're doing it for both, you and the Kehillah.
So then again, you can already justify the bracha with a lamed because you have that obligation, and you're going to have to make the bracha with a lamed. Wait, we didn't get to Mikra Megillah. Hold on, we're going to get to Mikra Megillah. But he says, Asa ha-mitzvah lo ula cherim. And therefore the Rambam says that if it's a mitzvah, Sheish b'chova, is mevarech b'lamed, lasos. Because he has, so he's blowing shofar on behalf of himself and behalf of others, and the bracha is going to be lishmar kol shofar, not al shmias kol shofar. If he's blowing the shofar and he's already been yotze, then the nusra bracha shifts to an al. Okay. What about lulav? Why can't I make a bracha lito es halulav? And that's exactly the Gemara's kasha here. Meisve ha'osa lulav liatzmo mevarach shech yodav kimonav. Fine. Then it says that nitola lotzeis bo. Now he takes the lulav and he wants to fulfill what? His obligation. Again, we have to emphasize the word chiyuv. Omer v'tzivano al netilas lulav. Now, if you all like Rav Papa that al is indicative of lahaba, it means it's no less than a lamed in terms of the chiyuv that I'm about to fulfill. Then fine. But if you hold like Rav Papa that al is not appropriate for a bracha because it indicates that he's already fulfilled this chiyuv, then how can you use a language that is lahaba? I'm sorry, that is indicative of meikara. And if you'll argue, well, he's not chayav, that's false. That's an incorrect argument. He's obligated in lulav. In fact, you can't take a lulav on behalf of someone else. There's no shlichus in lulav. So the Gemara answers, shani hasam to be idna di agba nafik be. Both say, what's the Gemara answering now?
That you already, it's miyakara because you already did it. You already held on to it already.
Can you say it a little bit better, Asher? I'm sorry, I'm always pushing. Sure. Because sure. The chiyuv has already been
fulfilled.
Yes. How could you make a bracha with a lamed if the whole thrust of the bracha with a lamed is my chiyuv to implement this action? I've already taken the lulav into my hands. Of course, Tosfos is going to have a whole discussion here, but what about the principle of overlasi yasan? He's going to have to do somersaults in the air, if you recall. Either he doesn't have kavana latzeis at this point, or he takes one of the minim upside down, or he's going to have the end of the mitzvahs is still anticipating maybe they not knew him in halal, and so forth and so on. But the Gemara itself is telling us that he already fulfilled his mitzvah. Why? To be in the agbe nafik be. Now, if he already fulfilled his mitzvah, then the nusach of lamed is totally inappropriate because lamed indicates that I'm chayav in the implementation and the mice that I'm about to implement. And that's not true because, as far as my chiyuv is concerned, the chiyuv is complete. So the answer is that we need a broader scoped bracha that somehow would encompass the mitzvah itself, even if there's no chiyuv gavra. So Rav Moshe, do you begin to see the connection here, which I didn't see yesterday, between the case of lulav and the case of mila? After all, you would say to me that two different discussions. You know, one discussion in mila is the case of the moel who's not chayuv. The other discussion is the case of the lulav, where he's already... we've already implemented the principle called Mida Agbe Nafik Be. The answer is it's Hainu Hach. The Gemara is really saying the same thing over and over again in two different words. Namely, that you cannot use, it's inappropriate to use the Lashon Lamed if you've already fulfilled your Chiyuv or if you're not Chayuv at all. So we have three cases here. We have the case of Mila, we have the case of Shechita, we have the case of Netilas Lulav. In the case of Mila, he's not the Aviyah Ben. In the case of Shechita, nobody's obligated in Shechita. And in the case of Lulav, he's already fulfilled his obligation. But what's common to all these three cases that the bracha of Lamed is inappropriate. Because the bracha of Lamed indicates, according to this man, the Yomar, Lassos, the Chiyuv that I'm about to implement and fulfill. That's not true in any of these three cases, either because I'm not Chayav, or because I've already fulfilled my Chiyuv. And therefore, the bracha has to shift to an al. Not ales halulav. I'm going back to the Rambam. Mevarech al netilas lulav. Says the Rambam. Why? The Rambam started with the assumption that kola osa mitzvah is mevarech with a lamed. Why, in the case of the netilas lulav, is an exception to the rule? We've already had one exception to the rule, says the Rambam, in four cases, v'chayotzi b'hen, etc., says the Rambam. He was koveya mezuzah l'achirim. He was koveya makil l'achirim. He was mafrish truma l'achirim. He was malas ben chavero. There we said that he cannot possibly make the bracha with the lamid because he's not obligated. What about al netiyas lula? For sure he's obligated. Again, I would underline and highlight this word chovaso. Yotzi yidei chovaso. As far as his chov is concerned, it's already gone. It's a has been. It's done already. So you can't be mevarich on the chova. Aval, says the Rambam. Listen to this. In birech kodem sheyito, he's got four minim on the table. And he's reciting the bracha before he takes them into his hands. Again, you have to know exactly what the Rambam means by that, because is that what the Rambam recommends? Or is the Rambam talking about some unusual scenario? I don't know. But he says, in birech kodem shiito, mevarech lito es alulav, because he's a bar chiyuva. Kimo leshev besuka. Umikana tolomet, says the Rambam. Shamavarech achar sha'asa, after he's already done it, is mevarech al hasiya al. But if he's mevarech before the asiya, then he should mevarech with a lamed. Now the Rambam wants to know, what do I do with netilas yadayim asher kitshanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu al netilas yadayim? Are you obligated? You're obligated. Is it before the mitzvah is done? It's before the mitzvah is done. So why is it that the bracha shifts from lamed to al?
You already washed. Now you're drying.
Yeah, well, why? You should say the bracha now. That's the question.
Okay. So that's it. I'm very glad that you gentlemen point this out to me, because this is a whole to do. But in any event, the Rambam says the following. That al netilas yadayim is a problem. We'll see how he solves the problem in just a second, but it's a problem for the Rambam, because the Rambam understands that the bracha is being made before the netilah, or alternatively before the negiva. We have to see what the Rambam shita is on that issue, and therefore the Rambam wants to know, why is the bracha al netilas lulav? And Michael, this is going to answer your question. I'm sorry, al netilas yadayim, and this is going to, Mr. Shem, answer your question about al mikra megillah. Says the Rambam, Hoil v'divrei rishushen. He says that in the case of netilas yadayim, you make a bracha with an al, and so too he says in the case of shechita. What's common between netilas yadayim and shechita? Divrei rishushen. Exactly. No one's forcing you to eat bread and wash your hands. No one's forcing you to eat meat and shecht an animal. V'afilu shachat liatzmo, even if he's shechting for himself, mevarech al hashchita. Why? Because it's a reshus. So the Rambam says that in the case of reshus, the brach has to shift to an al. Why, Rabbi Ozai? Because there's no chiyuv. The bracha of lamed is a bracha on the chiyuv, and there is no chiyuv, and therefore netilas yadayim. So we have now basically three cases where you cannot make the bracha with a lamed because you're not being mevarach on the chiyuv. Case number one is where you're a shliach and you're doing it avur acherim. Case number two is where you've already been yotzi a chiyuv. That's netilas lulav. And case number three, where the mitzvah is not a chova but rather a rishus, and the mitzvah is rishus, you can't make a bracha on the chova, and therefore the bracha has to be a broader scope bracha which indicates the entire entity of the enterprise of the mitzvah, and that's called a bracha with what? With an owl. Now the Rambam, before he gets to Mikra Megillah, he wants to know, why do you make a bracha al bir chametz? Bein shebarak liatzmo, bein shebarak lacherim. Frekta Rambam. Again, the Rambam doesn't ask the question, he answers the question, but let's understand his question. If he didn't want to tell me that I was bodek because you asked me to do you a favor. Then I understand why the bracha should be al bir chametz. But the Gemara says hilchus al bir chametz in all cases. The Gemara doesn't differentiate, implying that al bir chametz is appropriate even if you're being bodek your own house. So now you're not a shliach. You're a bar chiyuva. Says the Rambam. Unbelievable chiddush of the Rambam. May ace shegomar belibo. Once he decided that he wants to do the bedika, is in his mind, what is the chametz? Is it significant or not significant? What's his purpose now? His goal is to destroy the chametz. Says the Rambam, even before he implements the bedika, is kevan shemeis shegomer belibo levatel naseis mitzvah habiur. The Rambam says that it's already naseis mitzvah habiur kodem sheyivdok. Rav Osai, which principle is he applying? Or let's say if I use one bracha as the paradigm of this principle, which bracha would I have in mind? Which is the paradigmic bracha that is appropriate for the Rambam's explanation for al bir chametz? Where did I lose you? Okay, let's go over the three rules of the Rambam. Rule number one, I'm doing the mitzvah on your behalf. Rule number two, I've already been yotzei the mitzvah. What was that case? Excellent. Al netilas lulav, but agbe nafik, but he says the Rambam netilas al lulav. Now talk about bedika. Have I fulfilled my mitzvah or not? So the Rambam has a chiddush here. The very moment that I decided in my heart that I want to enter and I want to implement bedika, I've already decided that this chametz is batel, and therefore naseis mitzvah. I'm sorry, let me read it again. Nasei smitzvahs habiur, kodem sheyivdok.
It's not an asiya, is it? It's not an asiya that you have in your mind that you have done it.
He doesn't say asiya, he says nasei smitzvahs habiur. What does he mean by nasei smitzvahs habiur? Let's substitute another word for mitzvahs habiur. Nasei chovas habiur. He's already fulfilled his chovas biur. Why? Because the Torah recognizes, who remembers the Gemara on Daf Talad of Beis? Everybody sing it together. Midaraisa, bittul bi'alma sagile. So the Rambam says that there's such a thing as bittul b'lev. Did he recite the bittul? Didn't recite the bittul. But the Rambam's chiddush is that as far as the Torah is concerned, you don't have to recite the bittul. As soon as you made a decision in your heart that you don't want this chametz, that itself is bittul. And that's what the Torah recognizes as bittul, and it's called mitzvah habir. Naseis mitzvah habir, he fulfilled his obligation of bir. So the Rambam says that al bir chametz is the same as al netilas liyadayu. I'm sorry, al netilas liyadayu. I get confused with netilah.
Didn't we learn dvar shebelev?
So that's the point called hashbasabelev. Let's remember Rashi on Daf Daled Amud Beis. Rashi asks the question, why does the Torah say Tashbisu? The Torah should have said Tivaru, some sort of physical material destruction in the chametz. The Torah uses a different word. Rashi says Mikan. What do we derive from the word Tashbisu? What's the implication? The nuance. The nuance of the word Tashbisu? Hashbosa Balev. Again, we had problems with that Rashi because we had other Rashis that seemed to indicate that you need an Amira. So the Mefarshim want to say that on a Deraisa level, it's enough if you had Hashbasa Belev, here a Bittul Belev. And the Rabbanan wanted to solidify it and objectify it, and therefore they required an Amira. The Rambam says, Gomar Belimo Levatil Venaseis Mitzvahs Habir. Again, you could argue against the Rambam. I'm not here to argue against the Rambam. What I'm trying to do now is understand how the Rambam put the pieces of this Gemara together. And I think the Rambam was putting together three pieces in the Gemara, or maybe even four pieces of the Gemara. The first piece of the Gemara is Mila, where the Gemara says that the Moel is going to make Ala Mila because he's not obligated. The second piece is Shchita. The Shochet is going to make Ala Shchita instead of Lishchot because there is no obligation. No one's obligated. It's a Dover Rishus, to use the Rambam's language. And the third principle of the Gemara is Lulav. Then on Lulav you make the Bracha. of Al Netilas Lulav because Mida Agbe Nafik Be. And finally, according to the Rambam, if these are the exceptions to the rule, but the real basic rule is to make a bracha on the Chiyuv Lasos, and these are three exceptions because there is no Chiyuv, only because he's not obligated, because he's already implemented his Chiyuv. Now the Rambam wants to know, well, what about Bedikas Chametz? And the Gemara says, Hilchasa Al Bir Chametz. Why Al Bir Chametz? It's inappropriate. So the Rambam thinks it's appropriate because of the same reason that Netilas Lulav is Al Netilas Lulav. Again, you could argue with the Rambam from now until Mashiach comes, that's up to you. But I'm not here to argue with the Rambam. I'm here to try to understand what the Rambam is saying. Omar Avram. Who's Avram? The Ravid, right? Omar Avram says the Ravid, Kashali al Mikra Megillah. Zok the Ravid. Kol mitzvah shehimi divrehem. Now watch this. The Ravid is saying that every single example that the Rambam has addressed until this point are all doraisas. Again, we'd have to analyze Netilas Yadayim, but leave out Netilas Yadayim for a moment. And the Rambam holds that kol mitzvah she'imi divrayim, this is one of those rare occasions that the Rambam comes to defend the Rambam, havi ke'ein reshus. What is a ke'ein reshus? The nusach ha-bracha, says the Rambam, has to indicate that this is only a derabbanan. We are very sensitive, not just because we are lamdanim that live in the abstract conceptual worlds of halacha, but even practical, we are very sensitive to the classification as a mitzvah as either doraisa or drabon. This is the reason, by the way, that probably the Noda Bihuda, although it's not clear, but there were gdolim who were opposed to recite a paragraph before Sfiras HaOmer that starts with the words Hinini Muchan Umezuman Lekayim Esmashikosim Batorah Usfartim Lochem Yom Arishon. Why were they opposed to that paragraph, which you'll see published in every single sitter? Because what is the implication of the words Kimo Shekosim Batorah? This is a Doraisa. And mitarnished. We're not allowed to say about a mitzvah derabbanan according to all Rishonim except for one. But all Rishonim agree that Sfiras HaOmer Bizman says only derabbanan. It's one of your paradigmic cases of Zecher L'Migdash. And to call it Kemo Shekosuv Torah, that we're not allowed to do. And that's a whole long discussion into itself. The Rambam says that if you say about a derabbanan that it's doraisa, you violate Bal Tosef. I mean, you're adding a mitzvah to the Torah. You can't do that. So again, if your minhag is to say Hinni Muchan, go ahead and say it with all your heart and all your soul. I don't say Hinni Muchan because I'm worried about Bal Tosef. Well, just give me 1 minute, Mike, because I'm going to lose my train of thought. Oh, says the Ravid that in the context of differentiating between a Doraisa and a Derabbanan, we're going to use the Nusach HaBracha to indicate that this mitzvah that I'm about to implement is only Derabbanan. How do we do so? Because we're going to say that on a Doraisa level, I'm a Bar Chiyuva, I'm not a Bar Chiyuva. On a Doraisa level, I'm not a Bar Chiyuva. And that's called Ke'ein Rishus. As far as the Torah is concerned, what I'm doing is purely voluntary, it's not obligatory, and I have to indicate that in my Nusach HaBracha. So a Derabbanan is going to shift from what? From a Lamed to an Al. V'im Tomar Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. So the Ravid asked, what am I going to do with Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah? Later he's going to ask about Al-Achilas Matzah, which is Doraisa, and therefore it should be with a Lamed. But first he asked the question, what do I do with Ner Chanukah? Zok the Ravid, listen to this. It's good that you're standing, Stuart, because otherwise you'd be falling off your chair. Zu ha-bracha, this bracha of Lahadlik, hukba'ah, it was established al mitzvahs neros shebemigdash, shehen shel Torah, is lefichach asu'uha kishel Torah.
Why don't they say that that's Sfiras HaOmer?
He's saying the following, that the law of Hanukkah is determined by the Ner Shebamikdash. Let me give you a few examples.
You mean Ner Shebamishkan?
No.
You can call it Mishkan, call it Migdash, it's all the same. Do we say Hanero Salalu Kodeshen? Why Kodeshen? In terms of a Cheftish of Mitzvah, it's not Kodeshen. The Balmor says you're not allowed to use and enjoy the benefit of the Ner Hanukkah even for the sake of the meal that you want to eat on Leil Shabbos of Hanukkah. That's not a Bizui Mitzvah. Says the Baal HaMor, because it's the first Baal HaMor in Perek Bamim Adlikin, because they made it the Ner Hanukkah into the Ner Shebamigdash. And the Ner Shebamigdash is Asur Bano Bein Litzarech. Bein Litzarko, Bein Litzarech Mitzvah. Why? Because the Ner Shebamigdash has Kedusha to it. It's not just the Cheftish of Mitzvah. If we had more time, we would discuss the different classification between a Cheftish of Mitzvah and a Cheftish of Kedusha. But you'll accept it now as axiomatic that a Cheftish of Kedusha goes way beyond the Cheftish of Mitzvah. And the Shilto says that what do you do with the leftover shemen that you put into the Ner and you didn't use it, it wasn't consumed? Osalo Medura Kenegno Visarfa. That only applies in the Beis HaMikdash. If there's Moser Shemen in the Beis HaMikdash in the Ner, Shebe Menorah, we have to get rid of it. We have to burn it. And that halacha was superimposed on Ner Chanukah. Again, the Ravid doesn't touch on this. But the Ravid is not saying something philosophical or theoretical. He's saying something very practical. He's saying that the din and the status of Ner Chanukah is equivalent to that of Ner Shebamikdash. My nafkamina, so we gave a number of nafkaminas, but the Ravid's nafkamina is that the Nusach HaBracha. It's not going to be a Nusach HaBracha that's appropriate for what? Right. For a Durabbanon, it'll be for a Durabbanon, because again, according to the Ravid, we upgrade the status of Ner Hanukkah to a Doraisa, and therefore we're going to make a bracha lahadlik with a lamed. So again, basically, if we take Mikra Megillah as our paradigm, it's a Durabbanon, therefore it's Ke'en Rishus. The bracha cannot be indicative of a chova, and therefore which nusach would be absolutely inappropriate in the case of Megillah, it's going to be Lamed, Likros on Megillah, because Likro would imply that it's a Chova, and there is no Chova, because Midoraisa there's no Chova to read the Megillah. You'll ask me, Midoraisa there's no Chova to light Ner Chanukah, and so I forget the Ravid. And the Ravid asks this question, and he answers it by saying that this Nusach was established many, many thousands of years, many millennia ago, on the mitzvah of Ner Shebamikdash. So ask me the following question: when the Kohen lit the candles, the candelabra in the Mikdash on a daily basis, what nusach did he use? Did he use a lamed or did he use an al? He used a lamed. And why did he use a lamed? Because he's obligated, and even the Torah obligates him, balos chasaneros, he is obligated in a chova. If it's on a chova, the bracha is going to be with what? A lamed. Once they establish the bracha with a lamed, they grafted, if you will, or they cloned that bracha onto Ner Chanukah. And Ner Chanukah is also considered like Ner Shebamikdash. In fact, the Ramban says at the beginning of Parshas Balosko that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Menachem. He gave consolation to Aaron that he didn't participate with a mitzvah that's Lidoros, that applies even after the Mikdash is destroyed. And what's that mitzvah? Ner Chanukah. What do you mean Ner Chanukah? It's only the Rabbanon. The answer is that Ner Chanukah is a continuation of the mitzvah shel Torah of Ner Shebamikdash. How do we see that in Halacha? Says the Ravid, we see it with the Nusach HaBracha. The Nusach HaBracha is going to be with Olam. What bracha would be appropriate for Achilas Matzah? Lechol Matzah. Why Lechol Matzah? Because it's on the chiyuv, I'm obligated to eat matzah. I cannot send you. You can't eat matzah vicariously for me. Number two, I haven't yet eaten the matzah. It's before I fulfill my chiyuv. It's not like the case of lulav or like the case of bedikas chametz where it was a bittul. None of the rules that would allow and justify shifting the bracha from a lamed to an al apply to halachilas matzah. What about morar? Why do we recite al achilas morar? It's in the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan says the Ravid in the context of the Rambam is kein rishus. If it's kein rishus, it's like netila and shchita. When I say netila, I mean netila as yadayim and shchita, that I cannot be mevarach with a lamed because a lamed is on the chova and there is no chova. So therefore, maror is clearly with an al. But matzah, the Rebbe throws up his arms in the air and he says, I can't understand, according to the Rambam, why the nusach should be al achilas matzah.
What about, isn't Shabbos candles midrabbanan?
That's an interesting question. There's a concept called midivrei kabbalah. In other words, we generally classify mitzvahs in one of two categories. They're either d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. There's a middle category that most people don't know about. That's called midivrei kabbalah, meaning a mitzvah that is written in Tanakh, but it's not written in Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. And that's called midivrei kabbalah. So we had a discussion about this in our 11:45 shiur about the status of Mikra Megillah. There are two achronim. You know, the Yehuda and the Shagasari, they understood that the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is midivrei kabbalah. And they claim that midivrei kabbalah upgrades the status of Megillah to a doraisa. Not exactly a doraisa, but it's almost like a chiyuv doraisa. So if you're asking about the Ner Shabbos, it's a little bit confusing, because the pasuk that generates the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos is in Yeshayahu HaNavi. And he indicates that we have Kovet Shabbos and we have Oneg Shabbos, the Karosel Shabbos Oneg, and therefore we have the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, because the Gemara assumes that if you eat your meal in the dark, then you don't have Oneg. So I'm not sure. You know, that has to be, that really should be studied. Yeah, Stu.
When you put up a market, it becomes a chiyuv because you put it up. You didn't have to put it, and you didn't have to have a.
So you want to suggest the following, that makeh should really be with an al, even if it's my own house. So I think the answer is the following. You're right. I don't have to buy a house, and I certainly don't have an obligation to buy a house that has a sloped roof. But nevertheless, if I own such a house, then the Torah imposes upon me via sisa makeh l'gagen. So there are certain mitzvahs which are conditional, which means that only when the situation arises, I become obligated. But once that situation arises and I'm about to make a bracha, then all I have to do, says Rambam, is ask myself the following question. Am I doing it for my own house or for your house? If I'm doing it for my house, then the bracha is going to be lichvo es hamakeh, or lasos es hamakeh. If I'm doing it for your house, then I'm going to make the bracha al asiyas makeh.
You do it for your house, but there's many people in your house.
That's what Michael was saying before. The Rambam explicitly says that if you do a mitzvah, also mitzvah lo ula cherem ke'echad, both for yourself and for others, and the Rambam goes on to say that he makes the bracha with a lot. Okay, that's something very fascinating. The Rush, if you recall, quoted Rabbeinu Tam, and he had a different distinction. I mean, Rabbeinu Tam wanted to know if it's a, I call it, again, please help me with the English here, I call it monolithic, or it's a hybrid mitzvah, complex mitzvah. Does it have one kiyum or two kiyum? And according to Rabbeinu Tam, the indication of lamed is for some sort of ongoing mitzvah. He calls it a mitzvah sheyesh ba shihui. And if you take Rabbeinu Tam literally, you're in deep trouble, because his first example of a bracha with an al is al mikra megillah, kamen denasis miyat. And as Mitch pointed out very well yesterday, it takes 25 minutes to read the megillah. So why is that called a mitzvah nasis miyat? And the answer is because the word miyat means a mitzvah that has only one obligation. So if I have one single obligation, I can make the bracha on the al. The al indicates a single obligation, al chiv zeh. But if I have an ongoing mitzvah and the mitzvah goes on and on and on, I can't make the bracha on this chiv, because I can only make the bracha on the asiyah, and the asiyah is a long-term asiyah, and that's the bracha with a lamed. So what are the examples that the Rambam gives of a long-term asiyah where I'm not mekayim the mitzvah with one act and one chiv? The Rambam has tefillin, tzitzis, and sukkah. In other words, that in these cases, I'm going to make a brach with a lamed, because the lamed indicates a long-term asiyah, an asiyah that has many, many parts to it, in which My obligation is not fulfilled until I implement this mitzvah almost endlessly. For example, in tefillin, a lot of people have a mistaken impression that if I put on tefillin, I took it off, I fulfilled my obligation. That's not really so. The reason why we don't wear tefillin the whole day is probably because of gufnaki, that we're afraid that we have hesach hadas and all sorts of issues in kedushas tefillin. But in the case of tzitzis, where those issues don't exist, how long am I going to wear the tzitzis? Am I going to just put on my tzitzis and take it off? I know high school kids who do that. Okay, but that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to have the tzitzis on the whole day. In the case of sukkah, okay, if I have to go out of the sukkah, I have to go out of the sukkah. But if I don't have to go out of the sukkah, I should be there the whole day. So that's not a mitzvah nasis miyad. Here the asiyah, the lamed, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is indicative of an ongoing asiyah, because I never really get to the point where I could say, here it is, here's the cue. In the case of Mikra Megillah, there's a clear beginning and an ending. It may take me 25 minutes, but I start, I finish, and that's finito. I have accomplished my mitzvah. And now Rabbeinu Tam asks the following question. What about Kriyas HaHalel? He says the following. In the case of shofar, I understand the meaning of the word lamed, because shofar is an ongoing mitzvah. I start with what's called Tkios Demiyushav, but the Ikar mitzvah I haven't fulfilled until Tkios Al Seder Abrachos. And Rabbeinu Tam sees that as a separate entity called Tkios Al Seder Abrachos. And that achievement is down the line. So I need to use a lamed to indicate that I haven't yet, or immediately, again the word immediately means in a single cube, have fulfilled my obligation. I still have an obligation that is hanging over my head. Rabbeinu Tam goes even as far as to say that the lamed is appropriate for Ner Chanukah, because Ner Chanukah doesn't mean that it's a single kiyum. As soon as I light the Ner Chanukah, that's it. But Ner Chanukah is comprised of another element, namely Pirsum HaNes, and Pirsum HaNes is an ongoing mitzvah over a long extended period of time. Now, it's very fascinating to me that Rabbeinu Tam, in order to prove that Ner Chanukah is an ongoing mitzvah, and it's not just the kiyum of lighting it, he quotes the brisa of Ad Shetichle Regel Menashuk. Now, Yesh Lachkar, what does it mean Ad Shetichle Regel Menashuk? When does Ner Chanukah terminate? When do I finally reach my goal and I'm no longer obligated? So one interpretation would be in the half hour between Shkia and Seisa Kochavim, for example. Again, I'm not going into the whole complicated sugya of Zmanei Adlokas Ner Chanukah, but you could say that, let's say, Shkia is at 7 p.m. and Ad Shetichle Regel Menashuk means when there's no longer light on the horizon, not even reflected light, so we're getting to the point of Tseis HaKochavim, that's a half hour later, Lama Zogin. Because many of the poskim say that the amount of shemen that I have to put into the Ner is that it should last for what? For a half hour. But the Brisker Rav, for example, used to say, keep your lights on until the last movie showing is out. In his day in Yerushalayim, there was a movie theater called the Eden Movie Theater. Today, I think it's a hotel. Anyway, it was a movie theater in his day. And the last showing of that movie ended at about 11 p.m. And then the people flooded into the streets. That's called Ad Shetichle Regel Menashuk. In our context, maybe, again, the Brisker Rav said this 25 years ago, in our context, it could very well be that all night long. What was his name? Who sang all night long? Okay, you guys don't know
anything.
Lionel Richie, all night long. And that's a new title for next year. It's going to be Lionel Richie's All Night Long, because Ad Shetichle Regel Menashuk means all night long. And you don't even have to go to Times Square in New York. Almost any city on the face of the globe, at least in the West, and I assume maybe in the East as well, it's all night long. So therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam justifies the bracha of Lahadlik Ner Chanukah with a lamed, because the lamed indicates that the kiyum mitzvah continues. On the one hand, you did a maisa adlaka, and the Ner is already lit. Kovzha ein zakek lo, so you fulfilled your basic obligation. But on the other hand, your obligation, if all things are ideal, is to continue the light through the night. And that makes it similar to tefillin and to tzitzis and to sukkah, yeshiva besukkah. These are mitzvot that have an additional kiyum to them. But then he asks about Kriyas HaHalel. And he says, Umasha ein mevarchim al Kriyas HaHalel. In other words, Rabbeinu Tam assumes that there should be an equation between al Mikra Megillah, which is a mitzvah nasis miyad. Al indicates that one single kiyum that I clinch, and that's it. I've fulfilled my obligation with Kriyas HaHalel. And he says, "Ein mevarchim al Kriyas HaHalel." The Rambam's nusach was ligmar sahal. What's our nusach? I forget.
Likra.
So we also have a nusach with a lamed. Do you hear Rabbeinu Tam's question? Why is it that in the case of what? Of Mikra Megillah, it's a mitzvah nasis miyad, and it's with an al. And yet, in the case of Hallel, the bracha is with a lamed. And what's going to have to be the answer according to Rabbeinu Tam?
It's an extended period.
More than one kiyum.
More than one kiyum, correct? Again, I always give you the peace sign, right? It's always to keep in mind Rabbeinu Tam is the number two. Two kiyumim in Hallel?
Or the obligation never ends. Whenever you have an obligation, always.
I don't know. How long does it take you to say Hallel?
Depends.
You're very from. I mean, if Mitch could finish Megillah in 25 minutes, I could finish Hallel in about 3 minutes. Okay, let's be from. 5 minutes, okay? So why is that a mitzvah like tefillin? Why is that an extended mitzvah? Lechor, it's a monolithic mitzvah. Let's hear Rabbeinu Tam's answer to this question. Hainu taima. Lefishikorin es ha-Megillah below hefsek. We read the Megillah from beginning to end, and we're mekayim that single mitzvah. Avol bekriyas ha-Halel mafsikin. What does it mean, mafsikin? Where's mafsikin in Halel? Should we take a break in the middle of Halel? Go out for a coffee break? Have a little schnapps? I mean, after all, it's yotif. Why not have a schnapps?
Not new him. One.
What?
Not new him. Could be one.
Not new him. Well, wait a minute. We're talking about Halel the whole year round. Rabosai. We're talking about the 18 or in Chutzot 21 days of Halel. We're not talking about Sukkot. I mean, Sukkot does contribute a heavy proportion. Let's take Chanukah. I never did not knew him on Chanukah. Although it's an interesting idea. I might consider it. He says, Havel Kriyas HaHalel Mafsikin. Listen carefully. Vatzibur Onim Berashe HaPsukim. What's he referring to? Forget about the conceptual framework of Rabbeinu Tam, but what's he referring to in reality, in Metzius? Exactly. He's referring to Odu Lashem Ki Tov. He's referring to all those parts in which the Shliach Tzibur will address us, so to speak. And we have what my father used to call in our synagogue in Flatbush, responsive reading. Who remembers that phrase? Responsive reading. This is like American Jewish culture. Responsive reading. Says Rabbeinu Tam, responsive reading is a prerequisite, is an essential part of the mitzvah of Hallel. This is not just some sort of fancy modern American rabbi who announces we're doing responsive reading. But this kriya aniya b'roshei aprakim is woven into the very essential fabric of Hallel. What's the answer, Rabosai? On a conceptual level, two kiyumim, I need the peace sign. There's one kiyum of Hallel b'toras yochid. That's not the way Hallel was established. Hallel is Baruchu Beis Hashem, right? How many times does it say Beis Hashem in Hallel? Over and over again. Hallelu Beis Hashem. Beis Hashem means Beis Yisrael. Beis Hashem means as a community we read Hallel. And there's certain integral parts of Hallel that if you're missing the Aniya Barashe Prakim, will give you a B minus in the course, but you certainly don't get an A plus. You have not fulfilled the mitzvah the way it was meant to be. The mitzvah was meant to have two parts to it, two kiyumim. One is the Kriya, and one is the Aniya Barashe Prakim. And Aniya Barashe Prakim, Rashe Pesukim, takes Hallel onto a different level entirely. It's a whole new entity. And it means that together we are thanking Hashem. First the Shliach is the leader, and then we respond, and that give and take of Aniya to the Shliach Tzibur is a whole new dimension of Kriyas HaHalel.
Hallel was read that way going back to the Beit HaMikdash, from my understanding, correct?
I don't know. I plead the fifth on that one, but let's assume you're right.
No, so I was wondering, in terms of making brachot back in the, you know, at that time.
So the, I think Rabbi Netam would say that the bracha was with a lamed. Why would the bracha be a lamed? I mean, lamed indicates a double kiyum. Where's the double kiyum in halach? It's identical with Megillah. So Rabbi Netam works overtime. He says the following. In the middle of Megillah, again, we have another minhag in Megillah, but that's not called Aniyah V'Rashei Prakim. You know, the Shatz gives us, the Baal Kori gives us a chance to recite certain psukah. We have to understand what that's all about. For that, you have to come to my Mishnah Berurah class at 10:40. Hint, hint, hint. But that's not called Aniyah V'Rashei Prakim. So Kriyas HaMegillah is one Kriya below Hefsek. It means it's one Kiyum, and that's it. When it comes to Hallel, Rabbi Netam says that it's not enough to be Mekayim Hallel below Hefsek. You have to be Mekayim Hallel with what? With a Hefsek. And that Hefsek means that there's another Kiyum, and that's a Kiyum of Aniyah V'Rashei HaPrakim.
Presumably, so Hallel is also Midrabon, so that's why also it's Hallel.
Well, wait a minute. Rabbi Tam doesn't know. He doesn't recognize. Please, please, Rabbi Osai. Rabbi Tam does not recognize in a million years the distinction between a Doraisa and a Drabana. That's why the Rabbi Tam in his whole list blurs any such distinction. He's addressing mitzvos like Mikra Megillah, Ner Chanukah, all of which are mitzvahs d'rabbanan. Even Kriyas HaHalel is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. The Rabbeinu Tam is not interested. And in fact, if you would press Rabbeinu Tam with the Rambam's svara, the way the Rabbeinu understood the Rambam, he would argue, so why is it that Kriyas HaHalel is d'rabbanan, we make a brach with a lamed, and Kriyas HaMegillah is a brach, is a mitzvah d'rabbanan, we make a brach with an al? You know, the Rambam is going to have to come to task, to grits, with Kriyas HaHalel as a mitzvah d'rabbanan made and recited with a lamed. And the answer might be that the Rambam holds that Halel is a doraisa, or at least back at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, maybe it was doraisa, or whatever it might be. So Rabosai, the one case that I wanted to get to today, but, you know, the clock does what it does, is the case of Tvila B'mikvah. And L'chora Tvila should be a classical case of a mitzvah nases miyad in the framework of Rabbeinu Tam, which would require an al, and that's good news. But in the framework of the Rambam, L'chora, the bracha for Tvila should be with a lamed, because there's a chiyuv, And it's an osa mitzvah li'atzmo. Nobody can pass the buck on tefillah. You can't represent me for tefillah. And it's a mitzvah doraisa. Why is the nusach habracha al hatefillah? So b'li neder tomorrow, we're going to cover this tosfos Dibra Maskil al hatefillah. Do you see it?
Yes.
Okay, and that's going to hopefully wrap things up for this part of the sugya of al and lit. All right, everyone should have a great day.
We're still doing Mishnah Berurah 10 today, all right?
10. I, what did I say, 10:40? I meant to say 10.
All right. Stay tuned, I'll see you again tomorrow.